In 313 AD, the Roman Emperor Constantine had a conversion of heart, and he ended the state persecution of the church. Prior to that event, for a couple of hundred years, Roman Christians would gather underground amidst the tombs of the dead, to offer the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Secretly attending Mass in the catacombs kept people safe from arrest and persecution, but it also meant being in chambers that were filled with pitch black darkness. That darkness made it necessary to make use of candles, the flames of which would pierce the darkness and then allow for proper worship. Candles have been used throughout the 2,000 plus year history of the Catholic Church. In fact, even today, the law of the Church requires the use of candles at all liturgical celebrations, even specifying the number of candles. Now, there's no practical purpose for using candles at Mass in the 21st century. After all, we have electricity and we have sunlight because we worship above ground. But the simple reality is that we use candles for their symbolic value. From ancient times, the lighted candle has always been seen as a symbol of the light of Christ. And this is clearly expressed at the Easter Vigil when the deacon or the priest enters into the darkened church carrying that tall Easter candle, the one that rests near our baptismal font here at the cathedral. Jesus came into the world of sin and death to bring the light of God to us. As recorded in the Gospel of St. John, Jesus himself said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus is also referred to as a light in this morning's Gospel. The background for this declaration is Mary and Joseph taking their new baby to the temple in Jerusalem. They are faithful and religious people who are committed to following the law of Moses, which commanded that every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord. And so, like a young couple presenting their infant for baptism today, Mary and Joseph present Jesus to the high priest Simeon and make a sacrificial offering of a pair of young pigeons, which was the common offering for the poor of that day. We're blessed here at the cathedral to have a stained glass window which captures the presentation. It's the one, it's the second one in on the east nave there, with Simeon the high priest receiving and holding Jesus, handed to him by Mary. And Joseph has a little cage, and inside that cage are the two pigeons that they offer in sacrifice. The Holy Spirit had revealed to the elderly Simeon that he would not die before he had the possibility to see the Messiah face to face. He held the infant, he praised God, and he said, "Now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all the peoples. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory for your people Israel." The scripture says that an old prophetess, Anna, was also in the temple. And in that stained glass, she's way in the back there, kind of taking in all that's happening. She offered prayers and praise to God for Jesus. And she spoke to everyone there of his importance and the salvation that he would bring for them. Christians in the East refer to the presentation of the Lord as the Feast of Encounter. It is an encounter between God with the elderly Simeon and the elderly Anna on one side, and on the other side of this encounter is the young Mary and Joseph. The meeting between the ancient religion of Judaism evolving into the new religion of Catholicism. The old receive from the young, while the young draw upon the old. The two covenants bridged by the light of Christ. That light of Christ is reflected in the candles which burn in our cathedral and in your homes. Candles can make use of oil, but they are traditionally made from beeswax. According to the Catholic Encyclopedia, the pure wax extracted by bees from flowers symbolizes the pure flesh of Christ received from his Virgin Mother. The wick signifies the soul of Christ, and the flame represents his divinity. Obviously, we obtain beeswax from honeybees. St. John Chrysostom once explained that the bee is more honored than other creatures, not because it labors, but because it labors for others. Like charitable Catholics, bees produce good works for their neighbor at all times by pollinating the plants for food, for beauty, for clean air, so necessary for the survival of the human race. Bees work without rest, and they give their lives without hesitation for the good of the hive. They are instantly and vigorously militant against enemies of the hive. Not only the hive, but the honey upon which their lives depend is also vigorously protected. And when endangered by heat, they cling to the outside of the hive and beat their wings relentlessly to cool the hive. And in some cases, that event causes their death. We all learned as little kids, I think, I know I did, that if you get stung by a honeybee, what happens to that bee? The bee dies. It gives its life to protect others. As I mentioned at the Easter Vigil, the Paschal candle is carried in procession through the darkness of the church. There's an ancient hymn, so the Paschal candle is processed through the church, and then it's placed here next to the pulpit, and there's an ancient hymn that is sung called the Exultet. And this is one of the verses of that hymn. But now we know the praises of this pillar, which is the large candle, which glowing fire ignites for God's honor, a fire into many flames divided, yet never dimmed by sharing of its light, for it is fed by melting wax, drawn out by bees to build a torch so precious. I invite you, perhaps as you leave church today, if you haven't already at one time or another, to look at our Paschal candle, but in particular, to look at the brass base of that candle. It's quite unique because it is covered from bottom to top with dozens and dozens of bees. Bees who sacrificed to give the wax which built that symbol for the risen Christ. We come together today on the Feast of the Presentation to worship, not in the darkness of a catacomb, but in the bright light of this cathedral, surrounded by candles, surrounded by the light of Christ, which dispels the darkness of our lives, which burns away sin, and which calls us, like bees, to serve the needs of others.